The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And the cowboy, the fuck
off. You know what? Believe. Tyler did a great job.
Really?
He did a really great job. He was great. We implemented. I know you listened to.
He did about as good of a job as a rodeo clown trying to contain a bull in a china shop. Yes, I heard it. I leave you alone for one damn episode.
I just thought we need to bring some musicality into the Magic Podcast. You know, just a little bit of show tunes.
I listened to that sitting next to my wife, and I was like. She knows Tyler. We love Tyler. We love you. We were listening to it. Like, oh, that's pretty good. Tyler, in fairness, Tyler did a stellar job. Tyler's an absolute natural host.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's great.
But, oh my God, right. So I was listening to it. And Tyler's so fresh. He's so excited at the start. And he's just like on fire. He's on form. He's holding it together, like nailing it. And then it comes to the end of the episode and it's like he's got PTSD. And there's a point where he goes, you go like, all right, read his questions. And he's like, that's the last one myself. And you could just see that he's thinking, I'm about to be cancelled. When the musical number happened, me and Kaylee looked at each other like, what the fuck is happening?
Dear me, I was in a bit of a bad mood. My dog was going to be dying the next day.
I know you don't care about your dog because your room is not has not been painted black. Only if you cared.
It's very true. Otherwise known as the pixel effect, right?
Pixelated. I'm so sorry about your dog, man. I understand the pain.
Well, as soon as we've finished here, I'm going over to the dog crematorium and we're going to be burning her. You know, and then putting her little ashes in an urn that we've got. So, you know.
Man.
It's all good.
My fucking mother. So I got joint custody of my dogs. When we cremated Pixel, my ex has the ashes. My mum said, I want the ashes. My wife said, well, you know, we could split them. And she's like, what if I just get a fucking eye and a foot? You stupid cunt. If anything, it's probably just cat shit in there anyway.
Oh God. Surely if you had custody of Pixel, you have custody of the urn. You know, you should have those.
It's joint custody. Joint custody,
yeah. You should have the urn at least 2 days a week.
Mate, she's fucking dead.
Yeah, you know I know.
Fucking
I know.
Dead.
And I've bought Sarah's gutted. We're both gutted. I've bought a present for Sarah. It's on its way. I don't know whether she's going to love it or hate it. I found a company that you send pictures of a dog and it makes a life-size teddy dog based on the pictures. So I've got her a stuffed Anya based on the pictures. And I'm like, I know you miss her. Here's a teddy approximation. She's either going to love it and think it's sweet or she's going to twat me around the head with it and call me an idiot. I don't know.
She might think it's mega creepy.
It could be mega creepy. I don't know. So we'll see. And my other dogs are going to be well confused by it. But I've decided, I pulled the trigger. I did it. I thought it's a nice gift idea, maybe.
I love that you, a few weeks ago, started buying new dogs. You got two new dogs, didn't you?
We didn't want to. Well, one new dog. Because Anya and Coco. Anya was 19 when she passed away, and Coco's 17, so they're both kind of on the way out. And we knew that we didn't want Coco to be on her own, because she's always been with Anya, and we knew that something was probably going to happen in the next year. So we got Indy, the new dog, so that when anything happened to Anya, Coco's still got a sort of a friend there, so she's not on her own when we're not there.
And then when Coco dies, you're going to change her name to Independent.
Yes, there you go. That's an amazing one.
Well, see, my thing was, when I got Charlie and Pixel, I sent, it was supposed to be one, but I bought them both. And I said, just in case one of the little cunts dies, we'll have a spare.
Yeah,
but now one did die. So I need another dog.
Yeah. Mm.
That's why I had two kids. Same concept.
Yeah. Kaylee keeps saying the same thing. But
you're such a good dad. You should have another kid.
No, I don't want another kid.
Thomas enough?
I said to Kaylee, I said, isn't Thomas enough for you? I was like, I love him with my whole heart. I don't want to. Do you not love him completely? Isn't your cup full, or is he not enough for you? So I tried to like gaslight her into.
Yeah, but Kaylee's a very strong, independent woman. And
yeah, well, I'll just start blowing it on her chin and see what happens then. Anyway. It's snowing here in Wales. James must have been performing in the Grand Pavilion of Porthcawl.
Well, that's the
I'm trying to get it back on magic topic. No one gives a fuck about our dogs or the weather.
No one gives a fuck about our dogs. But no, it is snowing over in Porthcawl. It's not snowing here, but let's talk about magic. What is going on in the world of magic this week? Has there been anybody being an asshole, or has it been relatively quiet?
I have no idea. I've never been so disconnected from the magic world. Apart, like not the magic world, like the magic news cycle.
Yeah.
So you are going to be my on the scene reporter today. What's been going on?
No fucking clue. Genuinely no clue. Let me do what I normally do in this situation and go on to the Magic Cafe.
I did skim the cafe earlier to see, like, to try and get up to date on stuff. And I seen, and I'm not going to say it, but I did see there was a new Peter Egg trick out. So I have no idea what your views are.
I know that they've been debating it in the Society of Secrets. I like to, the thing with Peter is...
Have they?
I believe so. In the card magic section, I think they've
been... Ah, okay.
The thing with Peter is, you never know what you're going to get. It could be great. It could be terrible. You don't know until you see the tutorial. I find it very difficult to decide on what a Peter Egging trick is like based on a trailer, because he does have a habit of shining the best possible light on the product in the trailer, which I totally understand. That makes sense. It's a product. You know, the trailer is designed to sell it. But I think that sometimes Peter pushes the envelope a little bit too far. So I'm going to be waiting until I get it. I will get it. I will look at it, and then I'll decide on what I think on it. For now, I'm not too sure. But yeah, there is a new Peter Egging trick out. Outside of that, as far as I can see, there's not really that much going on. It's relatively quiet on the Western Front. There's no magic news. There's no magic drama.
Any magic happening on TV? Oh, I'll tell you what a good website is. Magicweek.co.uk generally tends to have an upcoming list of things. What's going on? Oh, I tell you one thing that I'm looking into going to.
Yeah.
Just potentially. There's something happening on the weekend of April the 20th to the 23rd. It's the Wizarding Weekender. Wizard,
Chris Cross's
Chris
thing.
Cross's Magic Convention. It's in Newcastle.
Yeah. That looks really good. I mean, Chris is such a nice guy. And I'm not going to be there, unfortunately, because Ryland's booked to be at the House of Secrets that week. So Ryland's going to be performing in Blackpool all week. So I'm going to be up there in Blackpool with him. But I've heard it's a very, very good convention. The people that went last year were really happy about it. Chris is always trying to push the boat out and make it as good as it can be. And the names that I saw attached to it, were great. I mean, Michael Amar's going to be there, right?
Yeah, Michael Amar, Michael Murray, Dan Freak. Got a huge lineup. Huge, huge lineup. So I think I'm going to be going up there. I was going to see if you were going as well, but since you're not.
I think I might be wrong, but I think, no, I don't think I am. But I might be wrong. I haven't got the dates in front of me. I know I looked at it. I know I'm there. I don't know when I'm there. I know I'm there for my birthday in Blackpool, which is the 12th of April. I'll have to check. If I'm available, I will definitely go, 100%. I tell you another convention that I'm very excited about. Have you heard of the Midwest Magic Convention?
No, what's this?
Go on to, just type into your search bar, MidwestMagicConvention.com.
Shit, I didn't type it correctly. Okay, MidwestMagicConvention.com.
It's going to be a big convention taking place over the 18th and the 19th in County Clare in Ireland.
Oh, of November.
Yeah, November. It's going to be really cool. And
oh, wow.
Look at the lineup. Go down to the magicians that are going to be there already.
Jay Sankey, Michael Finney, fucking Craig Petty.
I know. Sorry. And Jamie Williams, Wales.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that's going to be a really good convention. And they've also got competitions on. They've got a stage competition, a closer competition, and a junior competition. And if you click on competitions, they're announcing when people apply to compete in the competition.
Rylan Petty's going to be competing. I think he's going to win. Yeah, I know he's going to win. If he doesn't win, it's a fucking farce.
So Rylan's competing in the junior competition. He's the first entrant.
Absolute legend. Oh my god, this is so good.
So me and Rye are going over for the... I'm really looking forward to that. I like Ireland at the best of times. And I think this is, you know, Jay Sankey and Michael Finney, just those two alone are great. Jamie Williams, I am massively high on. I am a big fan of Jamie Williams. I mean, bottom line is, he's going places this year. His Star Jaws that just came out was brilliant. He won the Trick of the Year 2022 for Sticker Kicker. He beat me. I had Chop and Keymaster and he beat me. And, you know, I just know he's going to be awesome. I just know.
He's a hidden gem, that little Jamie Williams from Wales. But he's from Wales, so naturally he's absolutely brilliant without trying, you know?
And then you've got Quentin Reynolds as well. I know you probably don't know Quentin Reynolds, but...
I've seen him at some points.
I've seen a lot of stuff from Quentin, both kids magic and also mentalism and magic. And he's very, 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 very good. He's the consummate professional. He's from Ireland. But I mean, just those five names alone. Well, four names of me. You know, they're some great names. I just think that's going to be a great convention. Yeah. And one thing that they've done, which is really nice, is free for the under 14. So if you're under 14, it's free.
Oh, fantastic. I can be a little child.
I know you could. You could definitely pull it off.
That's what she said. Sorry. I just seen the date, though. There is no way I'll be able to go.
Really?
Yeah, it's on my kid's birthday.
Oh, fuck him. Or you've got 7 months. Teach him an act and put him in the junior competition.
I mean, I could... Yeah, I could just change his birthday by.
He won't know.
Can I be like, oh, don't assume his date. Don't assume his age. Is that a thing? Can I do that?
Yeah.
He identifies as an 11-year-old. At least that's the story I'm sticking to.
Absolutely.
There's no chance I'll be able to go to that, which is a shame. But I'd fucking love to go.
Yeah, I'm really looking. That probably, out of all the conventions that are happening through to the end of the year, that's the one I'm most looking forward to. I haven't seen Jay Lecter in a few years. I know that'll be good. Michael Finney is one of my favourite comedy magicians. It's going to be a great convention. Very, very excited about it. Very Dude, excited.
Sankey is lecturing like fucking hell.
I know. Jay Sankey.
In my head, what's happening right now is that I'm thinking, how much do I love my child? I'm joking.
You love your child enough to take him away for his birthday to Ireland.
Yeah, but after all the fucking creepy magicians from Blackpool, I don't want to put him anywhere near them. No offense. Yeah. If you are a creepy magician, I mean no offense.
Oh, dear me. So, yeah, a couple of conventions coming up. Obviously, the London Magic Convention will be back again this year. That's in November as well.
Yeah. Oh, what about there's one in Disneyland Paris, isn't there?
Yeah, that's in a couple of weeks. The Rendezvous Magic Convention.
No, that's in like 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks' time. That's going to be...
I'm in Disneyland Paris from Monday to Thursday next week.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we can't do the podcast next Wednesday because I'm in Disneyland. I thought I should probably let you know.
Tyler, if you're listening to this, I need you, mate.
My apologies. Yeah, I completely forgot.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, or if you're there till Thursday.
Huh?
You're there till Thursday?
Yes.
So I could always put it back and film it with you on Friday, or are you going to be snowed under because you've been away for a few days?
Yeah, I'll probably be playing catch up like a bastard when I...
Right, okay, so Tyler it is. Tag, you're it, Tyler.
This is going to slowly become the Tyler Lunsford podcast. Craig please, and Tyler.
Please, God, no. No, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
The Cowboy Podcast. Yeehaw.
Yeah. Lots of conventions coming up. Actually, this is a nice transition into products because... one of the organizers of your and my favorite magic convention is the London Magic Convention is Preston Nyman, and Preston Nyman has a new trick out, Lloyd.
Okay, what's it? What Preston does.
Preston. I mean, obviously, when he releases magic, it comes out under Spooky Nyman. I don't know if you know that. Do you know that?
Yes, I think I've heard of this. So that is. That's quite cool. That's quite a cool name to have, isn't it? Spooky Nyman.
Yeah, it comes out under Spooky Nyman just because he's an actor as well and he doesn't want the two names associated together, which I interviewed him and he went through it in great detail and it all made sense.
Super cool.
The reason I'm telling you this is I want to show you. I'm just trying to find. It's a new trick that's come out. It looks pretty cool, to be perfectly honest. It's through Penguin Magic. Him and Simon Lipkin went over to Penguin Magic and filmed a whole bunch of stuff. And this is the first thing that's come out. I'm going to send you the link. Have a look at this.
Okie dokie doodah.
It seems quite nice.
Where's that link? Okay. Talk as I read it. Oh, actually, okay. It's called First Class by Spooky Nyman, a powerful piece of mentalism that lives in your pocket. Predict the location of anywhere your audience wants to go with a super direct trick that gets great reactions. Predict the travel destination of your audience with First Class by Spooky Nyman. Here's what happens. You display a set of beautiful vintage cards displaying travel destinations from all around the world from your audience. Then you place a prediction face down on the table. Each of the travel destinations is also accompanied by a number. The audience is invited to freely choose any one of the numbers. Their selection is counted out, removed from the packet of cards, and displayed for all to see. When the prediction is turned over, it matches the travel destination they selected every single time. First Class is a powerful piece of mentalism that works one-on-one or for small groups of people. It packs small and plays big. You receive custom gimmicked cards that feature beautiful mid-century airline-inspired artwork that is instantly captivating to your audience. The spectator's selection is a genuinely free choice, and the prediction is right 100% of the time. The routine's easy to do with almost no sleight of hand. Add a touch of class to your close-up mentalism where you perform First Class by Spooky Nyman. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's the same 4 city every time, so it's always Paris. But on the tutorial, Preston or Spooky, whatever you want to call him, goes through how to make it up for anything. So how to use like business cards, whatever, to make it up so that you can force absolutely anything for any type of force that you want to use.
I'm watching the video. The cards look awesome and the quality looks insane, in fairness. It looks so, so good. I just like the style of this. It's super good. All right, great. I like that. That looks really, really cool. Yeah, that looks really cool.
Kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but I think that looks great. Really good.
I could see another thing on the Penguin Magic website. Or is this an old thing? I clicked on the top icon. I didn't realize that if you click the top icon. Okay, this is an old trick. Folderol by Spooky Nyman. But this is old.
I think he bought this a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay, my bad. What else has been coming out this week or has come out this week?
Well, the one, me and Tyler talked about this last week, but you and I haven't talked about it, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. I've now looked at it, learnt it, and tried it, and it's killer. Vox by David Jonathan.
Oh, it, dude, it's so good.
Fucking amazing, isn't it?
There's something about it. It has like a... explain to everyone that's listening what the effect is.
Well, the effect, the main effect, because David's got a whole bunch of other stuff that you can do with it, but the main effect is you put a deck of cards down on the table, you show that they're all mixed up, you can shuffle them if you want to, and then you have the spectator cut the deck over and over again and keep giving it cuts until they're happy. While they're doing that, they have a free choice of any card. So they name any card out loud, no force at all. Then once they've finished cutting, they put the deck down on the table and he says, did you know Siri is a mind reader? Well, I'm going to prove it to you. And he, I'm not going to say what you say because then my Siri is going to go off, but he tells Siri to read the person's mind and to name a number from 1 to 52. Siri then names a number. And you haven't touched the deck at all. That's important for you to realize. You haven't touched the deck at all. You haven't manipulated the deck. You still don't touch it now. They pick the deck up themselves and they deal to the number. And when they do, the card that they freely named is at the number that Siri predicted. And you can immediately, without touching the deck or touching the phone or anything, you can immediately then repeat it again.
Sick.
It's incredible.
So good. There's something about it. It has a colossal killer feel for me, and what I mean by that is that for some reason it just has a colossal killer for that off by one just kind of makes it kick a bit better. Like it just for some reason it amplifies the effect. It's kind of the same for some reason using Siri to reveal it just amplifies the effect. It's just wicked.
And what was amazing for me with the tutorial is the amount of different ways that David goes through in terms of actually being able to, you know, perform it in so many different ways. But the way that I'm doing it most of all is I'm doing it with EDC. Did you see the EDC handling that Javier came up with? That's killer. You do EDC, you just have somebody think of any product and any receipt, and then you say, hey, did you realize that Siri's a mind reader? No. I've got it set up here. So let's just say you thought of baked beans. I'd just say, I would just say, here we go. Let me just get my phone. I'd just say, hey, Siri, you read minds. Well, hang on. My phone is not on. Hang on. Let me do that again. Hey, Siri, can you read minds?
I'm not always right, but we can try.
Okay. And then, what you then do is you then say, you hand the phone to the person who's thought of the item, and they just say, hey, Siri, what am I thinking of?
I like a challenge. I feel like you're thinking of baked beans.
That crazy. That clean.
Crazy good.
Like, that's how I'm doing EDC from now on. Done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't need crib. Don't need anything. No crib. No nothing. Done.
And Siri reveals it.
You don't do anything.
Yeah. What more do you want?
It's the greatest trick of all time. I said to David, there's going to be so many different applications of this. So many people have come up with different. And I know the first person to actually explore the core method. But when you understand what he's done and how much is going on behind the scenes in order to make this work, it's genius. It's actually genius.
Yeah, the internals and the thinking, the thought processes behind Vox is really, for anyone, if anyone's a first time supporter of David's and never seen his work before, like the level of detail, or the some people get scared of the word detail, you know, they think, oh, it's a lot. But I mean, the level of thinking and the smart decisions and how he's covered every option for every ability level or simplicity, you know, whether you want it to be the absolute perfect crazy fooler that will fool magicians, or you want it to be hyper practical, he's got like every single base covered, and he's just like, he's just gone that extra mile on every part of it, which just makes it fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
I agree. It's an early front runner for trick of the year for me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It's an early front runner for trick of the year. So there's that's just come out. What else? Has there been anything else anytime soon? I don't see. Do you know of anything coming out soon? David did show me, by the way, another trick that's coming out with Murphy's in the next 2 to 3 weeks. He says that he's seen the first draft of the trailer and it's coming out soon. So I'm very excited about that.
That trick.
It's the trick that has a similar principle to one of the other tricks that I'm working with Murphy's on. You know what I mean? Different. It's a totally different thing that I'm doing, but you know what I'm trying to say. The prop is, I'm trying to tell you what it is without saying what it is. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I have literally no idea.
Okay, I'm going to type it in here.
But yeah, this new thing. Oh, yeah, kind of. Oh, yeah, in a similar ecosystem.
In the same ecosystem. This is just, I remember him showing me this about 2.5 years ago and just blowing my mind with it. Yeah. And just like, oh my God.
It's smart. And then it's just like, at the end, that fucking killer twist. What?
Yeah.
Love it. Exactly. Absolutely love it.
People are going to love that. People are going to love that. So I think we've spent enough time licking his ass.
Slurp.
The Magic Podcast this week is sponsored by David Jonathan. Please get Vox from your favorite magic dealer. let's see. Oh, the new Genie magazine's out. Who gives a shit? Let's have a look. We've talked about Concealed by Peter Egging. Have you seen the Elfanumeric deck? That's one that's currently on pre-order through Murphy's. So I imagine it's been golden pipelined or something.
What is it?
The Alphanumeric deck by Juan Pablo. This deck will allow you to perform 3 very powerful mentalism effects that you can present separately, or if you prefer, you can combine the 3 effects to create a very powerful routine. The first of the 3 mentalism effects is the most incredible version of the ACAN in the most direct and easy way, without the need for technique, nor do you need a memorized deck, and you don't need to do any mathematical calculations. The spectator names the card he's thinking of and also says a number from 1 to 52. The magician takes the cards out of the case and counts the indicated number, and there will be the card thought of by the spectator. In the second effect, the spectator mentally chooses a card from the deck and also says a number. The magician leaves the deck in the hands of the spectator and asks him to say the name of the card he's thinking of for the first time and to say how many cards, ask him to think of the number he chose. Now the magician asks the spectator to count the cards on the table, as many cards as the number he chose. And now comes the grand finale. The magician asks the spectator to spell the card he's thinking of from there, passing a card for each letter onto the table. And when you reach the end of the spelling, you'll magically find the letter that the spectator was thinking of. In the third effect, the magician calls out a number as a prediction, and now the spectator mentally chooses a card from the deck and has the deck in his hands. The magician asks the spectator to count the number of cards onto the table that the magician has said as a prediction, and when he finishes counting the cards on the table, he says for the first time, what's the name of the card he's thinking of? Now the magician asks the spectator to spell the name of the card from their chosen, passing cards one by one, and at the end you'll find the chosen letter will be there. Alphanumeric deck includes 3 effects that you can perform many more. Very easy to do.
I'm so sorry, dude. I completely lost track. I have no idea what that trick is.
It's an ACAM, I think. I don't know. It's apparently good, I think. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I... Sorry, what the fuck is the effect? I was trying to listen. I have no idea what that effect is supposed to be.
That's got to be the worst ad copy I've ever read in my entire life.
It is. Someone has taken a tin of Alphabetti spaghetti and has slung it onto their screen and gone, print. I don't know what the trick is. Can you tell me in under 10 words?
No, because I haven't seen the trailer, and I've heard that this is decent, but I was reading it, and as I was reading it, I wasn't really following it either. Which is an important lesson for any creators out there. The ad copy is just as important as the trailer, because you don't click on every trailer. If the ad copy doesn't grip you in the first sentence or two, then you're not going to watch the trailer, and you could have the best trailer in the world, and it ain't going to do any good.
Mm. The show. Well, I mean, a good trailer will work ultimately, wouldn't it? But what the... Right. If you want a link to it, let me see if I can decipher this.
Here we go. I'm sending you a link now.
Okay. Let me have a look. Let me just read. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. The deck will allow for a spectator names the card he's thinking of and a number. The card out of the case counts to the number. The card will be there. Okay. That sounds very good. In second effect, spectator mentally chooses a card and also says a number. The magician leaves the deck in the hand. The spectator asks him to say the name of the card he's thinking of. Now the magician asks the spectator to count on the table as many cards he chose. Now it comes to grand finale. The magician asks the spectator to spell the card he's thinking of. So they name a card, or they think of a card, or in the third effect, fuck me, the magician calls out a number as a predicted... Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, I can't do it. It sounds very fair. I have no idea if it's good or not.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Do we get a full performance? No, it's a 1 minute 35 trailer. There's no full performance there, right?
No.
I'm not even going to attempt to watch it. But is there any reviews on the cafe?
No, because it's not even out yet. It's on pre-order.
Ah, okay. Well, until then, I shall not pass judgment.
Although
they do need to fire their ad copywriter, whoever that is.
Although when it comes to ICANNs, I don't think it's perfect. I'm not saying a word. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to be quiet.
We have sat on this for 2 years. Do not blow your load now.
I can't help it. I want to. All over the screen.
It's all over his thighs.
It's all over my fucked leg.
It's true. Your leg is so fucked.
It really is.
Craig might have to have his leg amputated for anyone that's listening.
And that's not joking. Like,
he's not a joke. Well, I kind of, we're at the point where we could say a little something.
Do you want to be a bit of a cock tease?
I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely... would you say that this is going to be the next release I have coming out through Murphy's? I would say it is.
Possibly. Yeah, dependent. Yeah. Well, it's been long enough.
Yeah, it's been at least 2 years, probably over 2 years in development.
Should we give... I'm so tempted. No, I think we make people wait for a live uncut performance.
Yeah. Okay, no problem.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. You're the expert.
It's the Holy Grail. It's the Holy Grail has been found. There's no more discussion. That's it. It's the Holy Grail. That's
it really
it.
Is.
It literally is the Holy Grail. It's the Holy Grail. I fucking put my name to it. There.
Yeah, I agree. Game over.
I've overhyped it. Shit.
No, I think that, you know, certain tricks, you know, I don't think you need to hype this. I think when people see full performances, they're just going to realize it's a game over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just needs to be performance after performance after performance after performance.
Yeah. Okay, don't say anything more. We'll
difficult. Leave it at that. One of the worst things about like knowing everyone in the industry is how many secrets I've got rattling around in my head that I just want to constantly just tell people. It's so fucking annoying. But anyway.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Any other new products?
You know what? It's a bit of a shit week for new products. I mean, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Pretty soon, I'm going to be talking about fucking playing cards. Fucking
well,
she said. What the fuck?
I tell you what I did last week, which I can't speak highly enough of. It's not exactly new this week, but it's I performed to Kaylee Showreel by
Michael my Murray. Fucking God, it's great.
Jesus Christ, dude. It's very real. Very fucking real. In terms of they just think of a celebrity from a movie and they can even make it one that's not even the code. And then you just know, and then the reveals. I can't. If anybody hasn't seen it, you can go to mindeffects.co.uk, look for Showreel by Michael Murray. He has a full uncut performance. There's a full uncut performance of me performing it to Kaylee on my channel. There's also a full uncut performance of Michael performing it to me at Blackpool on my Blackpool video. That's when you know it's the real deal. It's just, I don't even think he's got a trailer for it. I think it's just an uncut performance.
It doesn't need anything else. It's just incredible. It really is. And as a creator, it just pisses me off so much because, you know, I brought out Gossip. And Gossip's a good trick, man. You did that on your channel. It's a good trick, but...
Yeah, it is. It's a great trick.
It's a great trick, but I mean... If you're gonna carry around only one magazine cutting out of a magazine, it's gonna be Showreel. Let's be honest. It's just they're very similar in that Gossip allows you to predict a celebrity, Showreel allows you to predict a celebrity. But I mean, the way that Michael's actually structured it and the reveals that are built into it, so that it is completely self-contained, it is so clever, so fucking clever.
Yeah, so I just want to, and that coupled with Iceberg by Daniel Johnson as well, is another fantastic. Both Mind Effects products.
Yeah, well, what can you say about Michael Murray other than he's a god? I interviewed him a few weeks ago on the channel, and he's so knowledgeable and nice and friendly and kind, and you know, I mean, he gave us all of that stuff for EDC, which was brilliant. You know, he's working.
Yeah, hard. Shit. Yeah, and all the stuff for Cognito, he did the extra stuff. He physically, literally, not physically, he literally changed the entire way I do Cognito from his input.
You know, and he's offered to put a load of content together for that project that me and Pete Turner are doing through Murphy's that we're not allowed to speak about at all.
Oh, God, there's so much stuff coming out, man. So much stuff.
Yeah, he's very kind. He's very giving. He really is. But yeah, I mean, those two tricks are two of the best tricks. I mean, I said that Vox is trick of the year. I mean, they could be trick of the year easily as well. I mean, it's just so much good stuff. So much good stuff.
Yeah. That's it. There's so much good stuff, but nothing much new else this week.
Really. Here's the thing. They've actually given me a heads up on this, which they never fucking do. I've got a new trick coming out through Penguin in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, what is it?
I can't really say anything about it, but if I say the name, you'll know exactly what it is. It's called Lucky Lotto.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know
the
one.
Yeah. Oh, that's coming out soon. I want to
see the trailer. Ironically, it's the very first trick that I ever went to Penguin with. I went to Penguin with this trick. And when I went over and filmed Chop and I filmed Keymaster, I actually filmed that at the same time, but it's taken them a while to get the props necessary that they need. But this is... I can't really say too much about it. I'll speak more about it when it's actually out because I know Penguin like to be secretive, but it's basically an EDC type thing. It's an everyday carry. It's something that allows you to put one thing in your wallet that would organically be in there and you can take it out. And when you take it out, you can do an absolute classic of magic and mentalism, but close up with everyday objects, which sounds a bit like EDC, but it's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to see that. I haven't actually seen a full performance, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see it. Yeah, you'll like it. I know you'll like it. This is up your street.
With all that being said, there's nothing. I mean, I put up some new stuff on. Well, I actually, what was your video about yesterday? On
it
the.
Was just about. Oh, it was about a couple of things. The first thing is. I'm launching an online store as of Friday. Initially, it's just going to have my stuff on it. So anything that I've been involved with, including pro caps and, you know, stuff that's not mine, but I've been involved in the, you know, in the creation of it. Boom Box is another example. So it's going to launch. It's also going to have a merch store attached to it with a whole bunch of T-shirts and hoodies and designs and so on and so forth. But by the summer, we're actually going to be expanding it so that it's also going to have available on there any tricks that we review on the review show that we give over 80% to. So if it gets over 80%, it will be certified by Craig and Ryland and it will be available for sale. Anything over 90% will be gold certified. Anything that's 100% will be platinum certified. And the second thing that we've built into it is the Netrix is expanding. So every single silver and gold member are going to have a discount code. If you're a silver or gold member of the Netrix, you get a 15% off code that you can use on the shop for anything. So you get 15%. Wow. Absolutely anything. And then also as part of the silver level, as well as having all of the stuff that silver level people have, including the weekly VMCs, every month they're also going to have a masterclass, a 2-hour masterclass with somebody, with a creator who's not necessarily one of the artists on the Netrix, but somebody who's going to come in and do a live lecture for a couple of hours. And then that will be dropped into their accounts afterwards so they can watch it anytime that they want to. And anyone who joins the Netrix afterwards will be able to go and check that masterclass out, regardless of when they join. And that's launching as of March. And the first person who's doing a masterclass is David Jonathan.
Holy potato chips.
So big changes come in for both the Netflix and Magic TV.
Holy potato chips. Wow. That's going to be huge, man. What's the name of the new website called?
Initially, magictv.org. But there's going to be, there's going to be a new name attached to it in the next couple of weeks.
Did you get the thing you were speaking about?
We did. So that's going to be the new name.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I believe I did. I spoke to Tristan yesterday and he said that we got it. I was very busy and ill, so I didn't really push it any further, but I believe we've got it. And the other thing is, anybody who was following the new guy, Michael Weber, Tim Chono, whole situation, which I'm not going to talk about because like that's gone, but... if you followed that, you'll know that the name of the company that Michael Weber put all of his stuff out through was Real Secrets. And the domain name was realsecrets.org. Michael, unfortunately, let that domain name lapse, and I quite like it. So I bought the domain name. And as of Friday, it's going to be pointing to the Magic TV store. But specifically, it's going to be pointing to the EDC product page on magictv.org, because my name's Craig Petty and I'm petty by name and petty by nature.
Fucking hell, Craig.
So I'm now the proud owner of realsecrets.org. As of Friday, go click on it and it'll take you directly to EDC, which you can now buy from magictv.org.
Where does it take you if you go there right now?
Currently, if you go there until Friday, it takes you to a WikiHow article on how to create a sock puppet. Because, you know, useful information, isn't it? How to create a sock puppet. It's something everybody needs to know. Apparently, if you're going to be a successful creator in magic, you need to know how to make a sock puppet.
I'm not saying anything.
Just be absolutely quiet, Lloyd. Let me talk.
Oh, this is not a funny thing.
I don't know what's better, by the way. Watching Tyler squirm last week with the whole musical tribute to a certain magazine owner, or watching you squirm talking about realsecrets.org. Anyway, carry on.
I bought a domain. This is not kind of a funny one. I'll type it in the window to you. I was sitting down taking a shit. And I was just, I love surfing for domain names. I do it all the time. And I bought this one the other day.
Holy fucking shitballs! Oh my God! Yeah, that. How much is that? That must have cost a fortune.
That it was available. It was like 99p or something for the year. So, but now it's not. Now it's like if anyone wants to buy that, then it's, you know, that's 2 grand.
Because I know of a particular person who would want to buy that domain name, and he's currently making my life hell. So. Oh, that's great. That's a nice little fuck you to my friend there. That's great.
Oh, is it that bad?
Oh, man. Like 5, 6, 7 times a day. Oh, my
Wait,
God.
You're calling yourself? Yeah, genuinely.
That's brilliant. That's the greatest domain name of all time. Greatest domain name of all time.
I can't believe it was Bill. Anyway, we've talked like complete cryptic dickheads in this episode.
I'm really sorry, guys. We've got a lot.
One thing I did, by the way, is that I posted before Blackpool, I did a warm-up lecture at Cardiff Magic Society, and it went on for about an hour and a half, hour and 25 minutes, and had a bit more stuff in it than the Blackpool lecture. Anyone that's a member of my Patreon, the Society of Secrets, then I posted the full lecture to the Patreon page. So it's quite raw. It's live. It's the warm-up lecture. I feel quite vulnerable sharing it. But yeah, if anybody wants to go and watch it, the full lecture, then they can just join up on patreon.com/LloydB. And if you just sign up for the month, you get the full lecture plus all the other like exclusive effects. Just the whole back catalog. It's kind of crazy, but not to self-promote or anything, but that I know a lot of people, I got a few emails asking after Blackpool to see the lecture, so there it is.
That's amazing. That is absolutely a wunderbar.
Speaking of self-promotion,
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go and watch it. Obviously, I'm a annual member of the Society of Secrets, don't you know?
You put the anal in annual. Hell yeah. Speaking of other shameless self-promotion, I haven't decided on a day yet, but I'm cheating on Craig. I
Sarah does. You may as well do it as well.
She fucked that dog to death.
It's a funeral in 2 hours, man.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry. Well, at least she's in a better place. Not being fucked. I don't jam enough with anyone, so I call my friend Jake Keane, who's an amazing creator and mentor. We have a very similar belief system when it comes to magic, like the way it should be presented and things. We just started jamming on the phone, and we said, oh, we should start recording these sessions and make it into like a bit of a not podcast but a long form video sort of thing. So yeah. If anyone's interested, we're calling it the Black Art Podcast, but it's going to be on my YouTube. It might be on streaming platforms, but basically it's just a sit down for an hour or so, and we just create a trick or talk about magic and creativity. So nothing to do with new products or anything, but just a creative jam. Because we were having the calls anyway, so we started recording them. So if anyone's interested in seeing something like that, then check out the Black Art Podcast when it goes live. I don't know what day it's going to go live for episode 1, but yeah.
That's amazing. That's great. I'll listen to that. It'll be
I
nice.
Think you'd be well into it.
It'd be nice to listen to you and not actually be a part of it. I mean, as long as Jake realizes that every so often he's going to have to deal with you fucking off and you have to find another co-host and you can't have
Well, in fairness, they're only short episodes, so I don't have any excuses.
Not like the Magic Podcast that goes on for fucking ever.
Last Wednesday, I phoned you. I said, Craig, I can do the podcast if we can make it about an hour long. And you said, fuck no, it's got to be 3 hours. We've got to give the people what they want. I said, I'm telling you, I can do the podcast
And then right I now. Said to you, but you also said, I'm really busy. I've got a ton to do. And I said, go and do the stuff that you need to do, because I don't want you in a situation where you can't finish everything. Go and do now. And then I'll call you in an hour and a half and you can tell me if you've got time and we'll do it in the last hour. And then you were like, no, I've got so much on. I can't do it. So yeah. I was trying to help you,
but man. I could have done a 45 minute episode.
Oh, we wouldn't have got past the fucking beginning bit where we talk about the snow and dead dogs.
That's true. That's always the best part.
In fact, we haven't even mentioned Pete's Nardi's love spuds. This.
Ooh, Petey's testicles.
Yes, the nardicles.
The chesticles.
Oh dear me! I'm off with the Nardster in the end of March.
If you haven't had your leg amputated.
Well, I'll hop there if I have to. You know?
Wouldn't that be crazy if you fucking Rene Levan did yourself?
Oh, it's fine. You know, I can get around with one leg. That's not a problem. It's fine. There's nothing I can't do right now other than maybe kick someone's ass. But I can't really do that now anyway. I'm fine. Everything will be fine. Everything's gonna be fine. I just keep telling.
I think this is gonna be like the intro to the movie of your life, and then there'll be a record scratch to you. Just yeah, turns out it wasn't fine. Turns out I fucked myself.
Fucked. There you go. So it all comes in threes. So hopefully, you know, the Michael Weber is one. The dead dog is the second one, and the third one with the leg is three. So hopefully I've got it out of the way. I'm good now.
Like Jimmy Savile. He comes in threes, doesn't he? Years
oh old, my God. And you say that I'm bad about Corvin Mina cunt. You say that I'm bad.
Listen,
and then you
I'm giving the people what they want. Someone said that we should talk about fucking kids.
No, it was Rick Lax, and he said, don't fuck kids. I distinctly remember there was a don't at the beginning of fuck kids. It was don't fuck kids. In fact, he wanted to make the whole podcast about not fucking kids.
Yeah. It's such a strange thing to say, isn't it? Just all the, remember, don't rape. Oh, thanks for reminding me, mate.
I would have, but now you've mentioned it.
Damn. Yeah. That's the warning that stopped me in my tracks.
So glad you mentioned that.
Anyway, do we have any readers' questions?
Oh, first of all, hang on, before we get to the readers' questions, there's one more product that we have to talk about that I completely forgot. Steve Thompson's Appearing Glass on Vanishing Ink. Have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. I don't know much about it, but Steve Thompson's brilliant. So
well, I haven't got it. I'm waiting to get it, but Chris James showed me showed me what it was, and it's genius. It's fantastic. It's so clever.
Is it like what I do know so little about the product? So are you getting a special glass or a special bag?
It's a bag. You could use any glass. I believe you might get a glass with it.
Okay.
But it's the perfect glass. Careful consideration was also given to the custom-made glass. It looks like real glass, but it's constructed of durable acrylic, so it's not only light and easy to steal, but won't break if you drop it. The custom-designed lid keeps the liquid from spilling until you're ready. It can be there, quickly, quietly, discreetly removed with one hand right before you load the glass into the gimmick.
That's great. Is it? So what is it, like a custom bag that... Don't expose it to
me. The bag is made out of Tyvek.
Amazing.
The bag's made out of Tyvek so that it's not going to break and it's going to be durable. As I said to Tyler last week, you know, obviously you're going to have a ton of people moaning and saying, oh, you know, I'd rather have a bag made out of paper. This doesn't feel and look like real bags. At least from my experience.
Oh, I'm so over the this doesn't feel like anything debate.
Yeah, me too.
I'm literally... Everything, straws are not made of plastic. Bank cards don't have numbers punched into them anymore. People don't give a fuck.
No, they really
watches
don't
have hands on them anymore. They're fucking digital. Like everything is new. And I get there's certain objects which aren't legit, but I'm done with it. Like everything is trying to be, everything is recyclable or eco-friendly. This type of shit don't bother me.
Nope. Totally agree.
But then, who the fuck am I to pass judgment? Anyway, but, it sounds like, let's not make this topic about that. It sounds like it's a great product.
It's a great product. It's really good. If you want to see the trailer's very honest. But also, if you are following Chris James on Instagram, he did a fantastic performance of it on his Instagram channel. So go and check out Chris James's Instagram. Go and follow him while you're there because he's incredible. But he's got a live performance. He's got a performance on there as a reel, and it looks really good.
Brilliant. Brilliant-o. All right, then. So we'll be on to Sorry Not Sorry or Reader's Question.
Yeah, well, Sorry Not Sorry first. Have you got any Sorry Not Sorries? Have you got anything that you're pissed off about? Anything that...
Not really, man.
You like, the same subject as last week?
No, no way.
Okay, okay.
No way, baby. Good. I don't have a...
In a very chilled out, happy mood at the moment. I've got nothing really to be upset about. I've got nothing really to be knocked about.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not really... it's very, very chill.
it's just really, really chilled. Really chilled. I could make something up.
I think we save these sorry not sorries for when we need them, like justice.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we got nothing to be we got nothing to talk about. No controversial opinions. So let's move on to readers' questions. I believe I did have. Did you get any voice files come through?
I did. I had one here from the Whitmeister, Chief Whit. Let me find it.
I've got a few that came through from Gareth. I've got them here.
Oh, you got them. Okay, great.
Friday, he sent two, and then Saturday, he sent one.
Yes, the two that are just funny things. That he said we can do with them what we wish. And then there's the other one, which is the question, which is good. And I'll check the Discord.
Well, let me play the question first of all. So this is a question from Gareth Whitty. Here we go.
Welcome to the Magic Podcast. Bonds, baby, Uber, sexier, Hardy's ball sack.
That was it. That was
it. Play the second email that came through. I believe that's the one that contained the...
Today, I become a man because my Peter Nardis have now dropped. It has taken 52 years to get this far, but now I can swing like Nardi. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's not one. I've got one more here.
Hi there, guys. Guys, this is Gareth here with now a deep gravelly voice. I do apologise for this, but unfortunately I am currently down with a sore throat and the usual stuff. However, I thought because it sounds really weird, I would send it to you anyway. So now, like Barry White, I can get on down and get funky, baby. Oh, yeah. So that's what basically I've been doing. Wife loves it, of course, which is good. But my question of the week to you guys is... What do you do if you get ill and you have to perform? What do you do, or what would you do, would be the question.
That's a great question, because you are ill right now. So,
well, at the moment, I'm following doctor's advice. I'm not allowed to do any gigs. Luckily, I'm in a situation where I have a team of people and I can outsource my my gigs to them, and they can do it on behalf of me. I'm a big believer of going out and performing whatever happens, but obviously sometimes you can't. And in this situation, I've got a serious infection. I've got to have my leg elevated at all times, and I'm on antibiotics. I can't go and perform. Another example might be COVID. You know, if you're testing COVID positive, you're probably not going to want to have the people or the venue have you there touching people's hands and so on and so forth. So I would say wherever possible, go out and perform. You know, if you've just got the sniffles or something, then man up. But the key thing is to network, have a group of people around you, have people who you can go to that you can rely on that have a similar style to you that you know will do a good job. Because if you do that, then if anything happens, you'll be able to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm ill, can you help me, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I'd say. That's what I'd recommend. Just have a group of people around you. There's always groups on Facebook, you know, Magic Gigs there is a great group that you can join that will you can drop gigs into. There's another one called Kids Magic Gig Share. All of these are really good if you haven't got that group of people. But I'd say the best way to deal with it is to have a group of people around you, because that way, if you are ever in a situation where you can't perform, you can hand it over to them. But then it'll come two ways as well. You know, it'll be reciprocation. You know, you give other people work, they're going to want to give you work. So if they get an inquiry that they can't do, they'll pass it on to you. If they're ill for whatever reason, they'll pass it on to you. So you've got this nice working relationship. It's about collaboration, not competition. That's what I'd say. Collaboration, not competition.
So don't do the gig and be sort of professional in the fact that you're ill.
Yeah. Don't do the gig, but tell the client ahead of time. Don't go to the client with a problem. Go to the client with a solution. So in other words, don't go to them and say, I'm really sorry I'm ill. Oh, well, I hope your party goes well or whatever it may be. Instead, find that replacement and go to them and say, look, I'm really not well. In my case, I'd say, look, I'm really not well. I'm battling a serious infection. I'm on doctor's orders not to perform. However, I have got another magician that I can highly recommend who can step in and do it for me. This is his name. This is his showreel. You don't have to do anything. I've arranged him to cover me. He will come along and do it for you, for me, and you're going to have an amazing experience. You don't want to put that client into a situation where they're feeling stressed or worried because of you. Find the solution. Go to them with a solution, not with a problem.
Great. I mean, I can't really add to that. That's exactly what I would have called you and said, Craig, tell me what to do. I'm fucked.
Luckily,
great question. Yeah, I get all the time lately. Matthew Dean asks in the Society of Secrets, hey guys, what is your favorite mentalism opener? I know mine straight away off the top of my head. It's Peter Turner's proper star sign reveal, or Olivia Bose's one, depending on the environment that I'm in.
Mine is it's called Petty Cash. Did you see it at Blackpool?
No,
it had a soft, right. It's a trick of mine. It's like a it's kind of almost like a close-up bank night, but it's not. It involves poker chips and envelopes. It's called Petty Cash. Okay. And it's coming out through Alakazam. It had a soft launch at Alakazam. Did really well, sold out at Blackpool, but it's going to be launched at some point in the next 2 to 3 months. But I think that if you're doing mentalism, you know, open with mentalism, you want to open with something direct and simple and quick. That's why the star sign revelation is so good, because it's very quick, it's very simple. It's like, hey, I'm telling you what your star sign is. It's like, you don't want tons of procedure as an opening routine. You don't want because a lot of mentalism does involve a lot of procedure. You want to move away from that. You don't want to have, right, write this down. Great, now put this in here. Now I'm going to take this. Now I want you to write on here. As good as that is, you need to establish credibility first, just like you have to with a magic performance. So think about routines that you can do that are mentalism based, that are quick. A perfect example is the Anverdi die. You know, just give them a die, get them to shake it, peek at it, you tell them the number. Boom, then you do it again. You tell them a number. This time you tell them not to look at the die and you still tell them the number. It's very quick. It's very direct. It uses something that they all know, which is a die. You've established credibility. Now you can go into something longer once you've won the audience over. But I think it's really important to do that. So any routine that can be done quick and direct. Another example, and I've seen Steve Della do this an awful lot, is the invisible deck. You know, just the classic invisible deck, but not going through the whole pick a, you know, here's an invisible deck. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but literally just saying, I've got a deck of cards here. I turned one card over in this deck. Name a card. Really, that's the card you want. I said I turned one card over. this is your card. That's very direct. It's very powerful. It's over very, very quickly. And in that moment, you've established credibility. The brainwave deck is another example. Name a card. I've got a deck of cards here. Oh, that card. Well, look at this. All of these cards are red, but there's one card reversed. It's your card. Not only that, it's the only card with the blue back. Another example would be Bewave. Not Bewave. I got ripped apart on the internet about that. Bewave by Max Maven. That's an amazing opener because
why did you get ripped apart for that?
Because I did it on a Hidden Gems on my channel, and I said one of the, you know, I used this trick as a Hidden Gems, and I called it Bewave, and I had about 15 people in the comments say, it's not Bewave, it's Bewave. Max was very, very particular about that. He'd be rolling in his grave. So hang on a minute, I just did a flawless performance of his trick, and he'd be pissed off because I said it slightly wrong. Okay, I'm not going to argue. Apparently it's Bewave. But the whole idea of, you know, coming out and saying, I've got four cards, the queens, name a queen. That one. Oh, I knew you'd pick that one. Look, it's the only one reversed in the pack. It's the only one with the red back. All the other cards are blank. Anything like that, where you've got impact quickly on the audience so that you can then establish credibility and move on. That's what I think anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
Another, one more example of that, by the way, I hope you don't mind, is your routine on Lux, where you've got the crosses on the cards. That's a very quick, direct thing. You know, you bring the deck of cards out and you say, here, I'll take these cards, give them a shuffle. Fantastic. Name a card. Okay, take it out and put it on the table. Now, I wrote, you know, an X on one of these cards. Look at all the faces of all of these cards. There's no X on them. But you pick that card, it's the only one with an X on it, and UV ink. That's very, very quick. It's very, very direct. Anything like that.
There is actually a thing you can do with Lux. It's just taking five blank cards and drawing symbols on them. Drawing a cross on each of them, or you win on each of them. Or even like £10 notes, £5 notes, whatever. And then writing win and lose on them. And then you can just say, like, there's five notes here, touch one. They choose one, and you can shine the light to say that all the other ones say, like, winner, or except for the one that they picked, you know, right. Just using Lux, which is simple and very, very fast to get into. Yeah. So anyway, that's a great question. Thank you so much, Matthew Dean. Rich Relish, the god, as far as I'm concerned right now, Rich Relish is the king of magic.
As far as I'm concerned, Rich Relish is my favorite person in the whole world, bar none. I love him. I love my own wife.
Yeah, this sounds very silly to all of you listening, but Rich Relish is our Lord and Savior right now.
He really is. We love Rich Relish, and all will become clear at some point soon.
Yeah, all of you will actually love him, and if you don't, you'll be forced to.
Yeah, you will be bowing down and praying at the shrine of Relish.
You'll be gagging on the cock of... You'll be loving his gentleman's relish. Smothered in his gentleman's...
With that in mind, what we got?
he says, a new magician picks up their first deck of bikes and a couple of silver dollars. What would you recommend they learn and from which source? Thanks. Thanks.
I don't know, there's a million things, isn't there? I mean, I do think that one of the best tricks that you can learn is the ambitious card. I know it's been done to death and it's a massive cliche, but the bottom line is learning an ambitious card teaches you so... It's a little bit like the cups and balls. You know, they say that you have to learn a cups and balls because the cups and balls teaches you so much about sleight of hand. It's true. But likewise, the ambitious card teaches you so much about magic. You learn how to do double lifts, triple lifts. You learn how to do controls. You learn how to do lots and lots of moves that can be applied in so many different ways. Color changes, passes. You know, I'd say that the Daryl DVD that Murphys have got the rights to, the ambitious card omnibus or whatever it is, that's got like all of Daryl's thinking on the ambitious card, is one of the best things that you can do, because also not only does it teach you the basics of sleight of hand, it gives you a routine that's a time-tested classic that if you perform to people will work and will get great reactions, and also the sort of routine that you can build on. So if you're very, very new, you can do a control and a few double lifts. Then when you get better, you can do a color change. Then you can do a pass. Then you can do this. Then you can do that. I honestly think that if you want somebody to get good at magic, well, the Ambitious card was the first card trick I taught Ryland. After a couple of self-working card tricks, I taught him the Ambitious card, and I said, you need to learn this. It's very important. And I still believe that, even though he doesn't do that many card tricks, I still believe that the Ambitious card is one of the most important things that you can learn when you're getting into card magic.
Yeah, no, it's a great one. Great choice. I like what you said there about that it teaches you more than just the trick. It teaches you the lessons that can be applied, like a cups and balls. I think that's very smart thinking. And you're right. For me, I don't know what the book would be, but... mostly like everything that I do now is very self-working in nature, but very fooling. And like, I have a friend who wanted to like sort of dabble in magic. And I said, well, this is the trick you can start to show people right now. I just got a piece of paper, wrote down, I think the King of Hearts. I said, put this in your wallet. Anytime you have a deck of cards, cut the King of Hearts to the top. And then, have them do a cross cut force, or they deal down, and then you do basically like a sort of like shuffleboard style thing where you manipulate it so that the dealt card is the one that's revealed. Or shuffle lesson even, sorry. And then reveal that you predicted it in your wallet ahead of time. We underestimate just how powerful that plays. So I would go for something along the lines of like very hands off. I don't feel like sleight of hand is super obviously it is necessary, and it's the strongest weapon we have in our arsenal as magicians, aside from showmanship. But that's the kind of route I would start, just to give someone them that instant hit and gratification of, oh shit, I just did a piece of magic. I love that feeling. Now I'm going to go and learn sleight of hand because I know what I can achieve. You know what I mean? So that's probably where I'd go. In terms of coins though, where would you go with coins?
I always say that the best coin trick that you can learn really is Winged Silver by David Roth. For the same reason that if you're going to learn Winged Silver, which is his classic four coins across routine with regular coins, but uses an extra coin, you're going to learn so many. But it can be done with a finger palm. It can be done with a classic palm. It can be done with a thumb palm. It can be done in so many different ways. You learn about shuttle passes. You learn about utility switches. You learn about concealing coins. You learn about the one ahead principle. And it's a really seriously kick-ass trick as well. You learn a lot of sleights that you can apply to lots of other tricks. And you're learning a really good trick, but you're learning about a lot of the concepts of coin magic. The other thing that I'd say is Gadabout Coins by, from Bobo, the three coin trick, the classic three coin trick, for the same reason in that you learn utility switches and Bobo switches and a whole bunch of moves. And again, you don't need classic palm, but because classic palm scares a lot of people when you first get into magic, and if you can teach them something that doesn't require classic palm and instead can be done with a finger palm, then it's going to become immediately more accessible to them, because a good classic palm is going to take weeks to months to get, and that's going to be time where people get bored, whilst a finger palm you can get immediately when you curl your fingers. So I'd say either Gadabout Coins or Winged Silver.
Yeah, great shout. I would say Greg Wilson's On the Loose or Off the Cuff, is it? That had some great coin stuff, which is good.
He did his version of Sankey's Coins Across with the back clip, or the Goshman pinch.
His Copper Silver is one of the best Copper Silvers I've ever seen in my life.
A questionable trick. Questionable trick. I was doing a VMC on Impromptu Magic recently in the Netrix for the Silver Level guys, and I was talking about some of my favorite Impromptu tricks, and one of them, I said, was questionable trick. It's so good. So good.
I've used it so often. So that's an amazing piece of magic. But also, aside from the company, one of the best series ever, and it's by an amazing coin magician, is Eric Jones's Metal series.
Yeah, Metal series.
You know, if you're a beginner and you pick up Metal, if you can buy it directly from Eric, even better. Then you are going to you've it's pretty fucking spectacular.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, it covers everything. Everything. It's not beginner. It literally is. It is. It should be required viewing for anyone that wants to get into coin magic, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I think it is. It is. It is out of this world. Yes. Yeah, so that's a great question. Should we go on to the next question? Thanks, Rich, for sending that in. Miko Luko asks, what kind of magic would you do for a blind and deaf person, possibly in their hands?
I answered this a little while ago, I think. I'm sure I did. I'm sure I answered this. If they're blind and deaf, there's a couple of different options. Are they blind and deaf, or are they blind or deaf?
Do for blind and deaf. Let's go for blind and deaf to make it difficult.
Well, that's really hard. Because I know what I do for a blind person. I know what I do with a deaf person. But if they're blind and deaf, it's very hard to communicate anything to them. I mean, they are going to be able to communicate. But if I don't know them, I'm meeting them for the first time. It would be very difficult to communicate with them. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be able to quickly write out some Braille for them to read.
I would do something very simple. Not simple, but something that... So I assume most people would probably go for like a try to think of some sort of magic-y type trick, like card or coins. But I think I would just stop my pulse. I'd have them hold onto my pulse, feel my pulse, and I'd stop my pulse. You don't need to explain, right? Like if most people know, I don't know if it's wrong to assume, but I would assume somebody who's deaf and blind would know, understand that you taking someone's pulse indicates whether they're alive or dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to have a card trick. It doesn't need to be about coins or anything, rubber bands. So they feel that. And then I would let my pulse stop.
Yeah.
And then let it start again. There's no words that need to be said. They can still, you know, it depends if you're introduced as a magician beforehand to it. I would say that first.
Yeah, I agree.
But maybe something like that, I think, would be quite cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm drawing a blank. I think that's, yeah.
It's tactile.
Yeah. I was thinking along the lines of sponge balls, but they wouldn't be able to see it. They wouldn't get that there's only one in there. So when they open the hand and they feel two, it wouldn't be.
That's what she said.
I'd have to think about it and really seriously think about it. But I think that you're right. The pulse stopping, that's brilliant. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever be able to come up with anything as good as that.
It's not as that it's good. It doesn't need to be spoken. It's an effect that can be done purely through touch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's so great. Potentially something along those lines. It's a fucking great question, though. Daniel, sorry, I need to apologize to Dararo. Daniel Rothschild asks, I got his name wrong. I couldn't remember who it was. Darren. So my apologies, Daniel. Says, first of all, Lloyd, my name's Daniel, not Darren. My question is, do you think tarot cards can suit someone who isn't serious in character? I tried it twice and it never stuck.
Matt has been doing tarot card stuff. Past, present, and future by Rick Lax. And he's been getting away with it. And it's been going quite well. And he doesn't believe in tarot at all. His presentation is based on, have you seen these before? They're ridiculous.
I was going to say, like, paint it red and draw
attention
to the fact that that you don't believe in them. Yeah, it's quite cool.
Yeah. And Ryland has been using the blessing. Is it the blessing? It's an Alakazam trick.
The ritual?
No, it's an Alakazam Nicholas Mavresi trick with a deck of tarot cards, and he's been using that, and it's been going really, really well for him. And it's this whole routine of, it doesn't really matter, but he gets three people to to pick tarot cards, and he turns them over, and his presentation is, you know, I found these in my dad's office. I don't know what they are. They're just ridiculous, but they've got lots of really cool pictures on them. And each picture has got like a little name underneath it. Let's try and do something. And he gets it doesn't matter, but Ryland's been able to pull it off to a point. But even then, I think you can, but so many tricks that are out there, why bother? If tarot doesn't really fit your style as a performer, it doesn't fit my style, I ain't going to be using tarot cards. I've got a million other tricks that I can do. With so many different ideas and options out there, why bother going with something that ultimately doesn't fit you?
Cool. Yeah. Trying to think. Just serious and kind of try to find some names stuck. I think it absolutely can. The question is, can it suit someone who's not serious? Yeah, it totally could. But it's just about painting it red and be like, if you think they're ridiculous, you say, I think these are ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, great question. Great question. Tarot seems to be picking up steam lately, though. Just in general. Evyatar Barzalay says, he's responded to Miko about the blind and deaf question. He says, for blind, you can see magic for humans. He did magic in the dark, and for deaf, magic with music. Hear me out, magic that you usually do with music because you don't talk. Okay, now they're discussing that back and forth. That's quite interesting. No, Drew Perry's gone in back and forth about doing Super Lemon. And now they're going back and forth. Okay, everyone's talking about the deaf mic. Okay, now they're going on about gallium. Okay, this is question from
it just fucking goes in just completely.
Yeah, there's a whole creative jam going on about it now. But this is the last question. It comes from Alex.
I just got a text from Sarah saying, in 10 minutes, I have to leave to burn my dog.
Bury the dog. Brilliant. And what about the one that's dead as well? Are you going to do that one too?
Oh, fuck off. I want that dog. I like her. She's cute and fluffy.
No, I said, what about the one that's dead? Are you going to cremate her as well?
Fuck off, Norman.
What do you, Alex Bo asks, what do you think has been the biggest innovation in magic in the past decade? Go.
Oh, dear me. You see, if it was in me coming back to the industry.
You're not wrong.
Next fucking end of. No, I'm just joking. I've got.
Are you really?
I don't know. I got an ego. What's the biggest innovation? You know what, dude? I'm gonna blow my right. Okay, there's three things that pop into my head. The first is the advent of technology, not in terms of apps, but in terms of all these little secret printers that are out, like glyphs and stuff, because that just takes predictions to the next level. Because now you can have a printed prediction and you can literally just have it on anything and just have it to, you know what I mean? It's like having a master prediction system on stage, but close up and in your pocket. I mean, the amount of possibilities with that are just ridiculous. I think that's a big leap forward. And these printers have only just recently come out, but I think there's going to be some incredible stuff happening over the years. Another thing that everybody seems to be using, and I think unfortunately it's got to a point where it's overused now, but what's that stuff that a lot of people use on TV? The
cocaine?
No, the one where you make a prediction and it's written down from the beginning and it's superimposed on there. And
Prevision.
Prevision, yeah. Prevision, I think, has got to a point now where it's being overused. And I think anyone who's going on TV, I think it becomes an easy way out. It's like, oh, let's use Prevision. But I still think that Prevision itself is an incredible tool for TV performers, obviously, or people that are using big shows and have, you know, video production on the screen. I think that's a really big thing that's happened.
I was actually fortunate enough to sit down with Renee, the guy who made Prevision, created it, and he's a genius. And first of all, he was showing me the new features that are coming out with it, which it's kind of game over territory. And because I've always thought this when I've seen Prevision, but he's so right. Is that like if you use Prevision correctly, it'll never like get it'll never if you use it correctly, it can be the most powerful tool on earth. You know, it's kind of like if you use it, well, my thing is if you use it as it's not the end point of the routine, so it's not like the like kind of like an app in a way, right? But it's like imagine something along the lines of this. If you used it, if somebody named a number between 1 and 50, and then you in the video, like, okay, cool, there's a video. I didn't bring my list, but here you can see it on the menu behind me in the video. Just remember whatever number on that list is there. You know, if you use it in that sense where it's not the end of the effect, but it's the way to get there. So it's just a sub part of it. It's like a, it's a thing which could have been done, they think, as a real part of the process in person. Then you can have yourself a real, it can be 10 times more impactful. I can see Craig's doing something there, but that's a great question.
No, that was a really good question. Sorry, yeah, I was just looking for something. I'm sorry. I was getting carried away, distracted. But yeah, that was that, which I do quite a lot. I found it. I've got it. It's okay. So that was the second one. So pre-vision. The first one was the printer type thing. And the other big innovation in magic, would it be egotistical to say the quantum deck? Because honestly, I do think that took roughing fluid in an entirely different direction. Yeah.
No, I think that's a super, super relevant point to make, is that, and also so many people have taken the concept and developed it into different ways and different things themselves, you know? So it really is like, it's transcended just the singular trick.
Yeah. That's my thought on this.
It's fantastic. For me, the biggest innovation has sort of been, and I mean more so than ever lately, and I wouldn't say innovation, but changing of the guard comes to my mind in terms of, I don't know. No, I'm gonna. I haven't got time to open up this can of worms. I quite like how. Just in general, not terms of technology wise, but like the magic fraternity is getting more on board with magic being more, I say, organic in the loosest terms. I don't mean picking leaves and making it. It just seems that there's much more of a collective belief of, I believe magic should be represented in a certain way. And it seems now more than ever, a lot more people are getting on board with that. I can't really put it into a box to describe it, and especially not in the short amount of time that we have. It's just nice to see that some of the beliefs that I've held for many, many years, over, you know, over two-thirds of my life, it's sort of starting to become adopted as the norm now. And it's just good to see that. I would have hated it for magic to go in a different direction to where we are now. There's certain parts of magic I don't like, but it seems as a collective, people are making the right, what I believe are the correct choices in representation of magic and you know, choice of method and thinking.
Yeah.
Sounds very wishy-washy, doesn't it? But anyway, you need to go and set fire to that little fucking dog.
I do. I'm getting sorry. Fucking 5 minutes, I really am, but I'll be good.
Can you send me a video of you crying so I can wank to it, please?
yeah, of course I can, but I promised I'd send it to Nemid first.
Sorry, I'm only joking. I won't wank that much.
Oh dear me. Welcome back, Lloyd, to the Magic Podcast. We will be back again next week, but apparently we've already discovered we're going to be Lloydless, so hopefully Tyler's available. If not, it's going to be me with somebody else that I drag into this whole shit show.
Bring Matt into it.
Bring Matt into me and Matt doing a fucking podcast. That'll be interesting.
I can see the cogs turning in your head, and you're thinking. I mean, the one thing
I
with
don't
Matt
think is Tyler's going to do it again, because last time he did it, he effectively put him into a situation when him and his new company that he's working for got cancelled. So, you know what I mean?
Tyler will do it again. He's a good egg.
He really is. He really.
But at least with Matt, he's not so in the community that he could say anything he wants with impunity, because if somebody with a big name decided to talk shit on Matt, He would never even know, let alone care.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my God.
Zero repercussions for his.
Wind him up and let him go. Right.
Well, you're a multi-millionaire, so you don't give a fuck anyway about what happens to you. Neither does Matt now.
Oh dear, my dear God. Right, okay.
Just throwing that out there.
I'll be back next Wednesday. Lloyd won't. He'll be fannying around in Paris. But if you want to come and join us again next week, make sure that you subscribe to your favorite podcasting platform. And please make sure that you join the Facebook group where Lloyd will never fucking see anything, but I will. Lloyd will be back again in 2 weeks if he can be fucking bothered. But I'll be back again next Wednesday. He's already shaking his head. Probably not. He's got a new podcast buddy now.
Podcast.
And he's not really in fucking Paris. He's really fucking off with Jake, making little podcast episodes about creativity.
Podcast friend. Oh.
Podcast wankers. Oh,
cunt.
Lloyd, we're going now. Do you want to wrap this up?
Have a shit week, cunts.
What he said. I'll be back again next week. You'll have to tune in to find out who I'm with. But it'll be somebody, just not Lloyd. Bye, everyone.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.